Good evening, everyone. I'm so happy you're here tonight. Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, nothing is impossible. Now, we know that from Scripture, but I want you to catch the power of that in your heart tonight. I'm going to tell you that any time that Jesus comes, something special always happens. You may be seated. Thank you. Wow. I had such a strong witness in my heart yesterday in particular. We were teaching yesterday in the service. And I know that God, I told you this last night, but I'm going to say it again. I believe that tonight is a night where specific and direct miracles of healing are going to be received by people. Now, I know someone got healed last night, but I think it's going to be an overflow of blessing in this place tonight. So, you know, for a while, I'll be talking to you about things that'll help you connect with the healing power of God. I noticed something in Scripture. I noticed it to be repetitive with the Master. My mentor, one of the old Voice of Healing guys, used to say this to me over and over again. He would say, Dale, when you read the Word of God, never read the Word just to see what He has said. You need to know that. But more so, he said, you need to know why He said it. Now, he wasn't talking about figuring out the intelligent God, because that's beyond us. He was talking about motivation. He said God has reasons why He said the things He said. He has reasons why He has done the things that He has done. If you do not understand His heart, you may never understand His hand. Do you understand the metaphor there? You have to understand what moves Him in order to understand why He's doing the things that He has done. I'm going to assure you, my good friend, today. Yeah, He's okay, my brother. He's okay. He's just fine. Amen. I'm going to assure you, my friend, if you will find out what His heart is like, you will discover why He's doing what He's doing, and you'll connect much better with Him. Now, there's something that I noticed that He would do. I see it throughout the four Gospels. He would come to people, and He would ask them a question. He didn't ask them what was wrong with them. He would ask them, you know, what would you have me do for you? Now, I might not have paid much attention to the question if it wasn't the fact that He often asked the question to people who had obvious needs. I mean, I was reading in the airplane the other day, and He approaches a man who is blind, and He asks the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm thinking, Lord, he's blind. Do we need a medical degree to figure this out? Do we need a prophetic anointing to know this? I don't think so. Why would He do that? Why would He ask the man? See, I know what He said, but what was going on in your heart? Why are you asking people this kind of thing? And then I realized what He was doing. He was getting people to focus in on something. Are you listening? Do you know how you get a miracle? You don't walk into a room like this and have nothing at all in mind and then walk out with a great miracle. That's not going to happen. You don't walk into a room like this and then if someone says, well, what are you expecting God to do for you? And you say, well, just anything. That's way too vague. You see, you cannot have one until you have two. Do you understand? You cannot enter into something until you've selected something. Let me say it to you that way. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to pick out one thing you want God to do tonight for you before you leave this room. Not someday, not by the end of the week, not when it's God's time. Something right now. I think God has something for you right now, before we leave this room today, now what would you like him to do for you? Have you picked it out yet? Come on, someone needs to say, this is the end of arthritis for me. Come on, someone needs to say, this is the end of migraines for me. So, are you in the room? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone needs to say, this is the end of my spinal problem today. Or what? Someone needs to say, this is the end of panic attacks and fears for me today. Pick out something for God to do. Now, I'm not trying to say to you that he can't do more than that. But again, until you select one, you'll never enter into two. You have to have one, you have to take the first step before you can have a second step. So how are you going to get many if you haven't zeroed in on one? Pick out one thing you want God to do for you today in this room. I believe you'll enter into much. Praise the Lord. I believe you'll enter into much. Now, your pastor met me when I was ministering with Brother Shambach. It was at a transition time within my life, a transition time that I was not expecting. I had been ministering for over 30 years, and the anointing of healing had been from the beginning. So while we have strength to see people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we also have people mightily healed. And in every crusade, we never, never go to a city, but people are healed by the power of God. That's going to happen right here tonight in this room. You might as well be one of them. When the healer comes, people get healed. Do you understand that? So, and he's here. I know he's here. You know he's here too. You could tell it as you worshiped him. Now, but what happened is for the first 30-some years, all of the healing happened through the laying on of hands, which I believe in. It is biblical, and I occasionally still do exactly that. But it was during my time with Brother Shambach, right at the very end, when I stood up to minister in one of his camp meetings, that something happened that I did not ask for, and I was quite surprised when it took place. It began to be on that day, and from that day forward, that the anointing of God began to move among the people as I would stand to preach the word. And healings would begin to happen right in the seats. So you say, does it always happen that way? No, but it happens that way most all of the time. So here's what you say, what are you driving at? This is what I'm telling you. Why would you wait to the end of the service to open your heart for a miracle when the miracle worker is here right now? He's not going to arrive in the next 45 minutes. He's already here. It's really true. And the fact is that a lot of the people that get miracles in our meetings today, a lot of them, will be healed within the first 10 minutes of the message. They'll be healed halfway through the message. They'll get healed, some of them, at the very end of the message. But they catch it all through that time. But the great many of the miracles happen right in the early part. And so I'm going to talk to you about that for the next few moments. Will you open your heart to the Jesus who is healing right now in this place? Don't procrastinate your faith. Don't put it off for another day. But I'm actually going to say, don't even put it off for the end of the service. Now is a good time to get healed. Now is a great time to get healed. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 16, Romans 8 and verse 16, what I'm going to talk to you about for the next little bit is I'm going to talk about the God who bears witness. Do you understand that term? The God who bears witness. Or let me say it to you like this. We have a communicating God. We don't have a God who dwells up in some other place called heaven and never really interacts with people on the earth. But when you die, you'll meet him. In the meanwhile, he threw a big book down on the earth. If you read it and believe it and follow it, you get to see him in the end. That is not how this is working out. We have a God who, when he came to this earth as a man, he was forwarded by the announcement of angels who told us that one of the names that he'll be known by is this. They all said, you're going to call him Emmanuel. Do you remember what that name Emmanuel means? It means God, come on, with. Help me preach this. God with us. Here's what I know about God. I know that he is a communicator. He is a talking God. He is a God of intimate fellowship. He is one, I'm saying the same thing many ways. He is an interactive God. He is a God that wants to interact with you. When he made people in the very beginning, when he made Adam. You know what the scripture tells us he did? He came to earth every day to fellowship with that man. Am I telling you the truth now? It didn't say once a day God transported Adam to heaven and he got to sit in the waiting room for 6 hours and then got a 10-minute visit with a very busy God. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that God came to earth to talk with him. That tells you a lot about God and about his heart and the way he desires to interact with men. He did that every day, and then when sin came into the earth, guess what? He still did it. Hello. Come on, the day that Adam sinned, you know what? That day God came to earth to interact with him. Am I saying this right? But what do you think? You think God didn't know until he came that day what had taken place? Or do you think he knew the moment Adam ate of the tree? I think he knew the moment Adam ate of the tree, and I knew then that I was different than God, because had I been God, the moment he ate of that tree, I would have shouted right out through the atmosphere, "I saw that." You can forget the 6 o'clock visit today. It's all over. But he came anyhow, did he not? And he didn't come to ream the guy out, although he told him the effect of sin and what it would be like. But he came to give him hope and a promise that a redeemer would come that would break the power of sin. And although sin would bring a barrier between man and God, he would break that barrier down through a blood sacrifice that his son would give. Come on. And the day came that Jesus came into this earth as a man and walked among us. He did just that so he could touch us, so we could hear him. Listen, he's a talking, he's an interactive God. Whoa, I hear some people say things like this. I hear them say, you know, I worry about those people who say God talks to them. And I'm thinking, I worry about the guys who say he doesn't. I mean, God's a talking God. Think about, look, if you think he's not that much of a talker, I need you to remember something about him. You know, in scripture, names were always given to describe something about the character or the nature of an individual. Now, that's not the way we do it in the U.S. today. Today, when a child is born, what we do is we try to find the coolest, edgiest name, and we give the kid that name. People say, "What does that mean? I have no idea. It just sounds really cool, you know." But that's not the way it was done in scripture. In scripture, we find that when people were given a name, that name said something about the person. In fact, lots of times, when a person would have a life change, they would get a name change. Am I telling you the truth? Because they would always be given a name that said something about them. Now, think about that. Think about the names of our God. And think about just this one that I'm going to present to you now, because I'm talking about the God who bears witness. The Bible tells us this, that his name shall be called the Word of God. Now, look, anybody whose name is the Word has got to be a talker. Am I right? You can't have a name like Word and be a mute. You must be a talker. God's trying to communicate something to us, that he interacts with you. And watch, everything that is written in the book, he wants to speak into your life. Now, here's the thesis of everything I'm going to say. Here's the cruxus of everything I'm going to say in the next few moments. The promises of God don't work because they're in the book. They work when they're spoken into your spirit. I need to say that right out loud again. The promises of God do not work because they're written in scripture. They work when they're written on your heart. Are you catching this? If they work just because they were in the book, then all we would need to do is carry the book around with us like a lucky charm, and we'd get all of the things that's in the book. But it doesn't work that way. It works when what is written in the book is declared into our heart by his spirit. Now, I'm going to say something that puts me almost in danger of mainline Christianity. I'm going to tell you something. We have people that are worshipers of the book, but have never heard from the author. And there's a danger when you worship the book, and I love scriptures, But there's a danger when you worship the book, but you never hear from him who is the word. What is essential is to know what is true in this holy book, and then to get on our face before the presence of him who is the living word, and have him speak into our hearts the things that we have read with our eyes. Otherwise, all we have is theological information, and we do not have the life and the power of it, because the life and the power of it is, are you still in the room, is breathed on us by the Holy Spirit. All right? So you can listen to my teaching all day long, and you can buy all of the CDs that the pastor recommended you to buy, and I strongly suggest you do. You can memorize them. You can make notes on them. You can have a great outline of them. And there's none of the material that is in those CDs that will work in your life until you get into the presence of God and let him breathe those things upon you. So you say, well, what is the purpose of Scripture then? The purpose of Scripture is so that we know what voice we are hearing. Because there's a lot of voices that want to speak to you. There's the voice of our society. There's the voice of the media. There is the voice of the underworld and Satan. You understand? There's the voice of our own fears. And they want to trump the whole situation and say, listen to us, because we're telling you the way life should be. You need to know what's written in that holy book so that when you hear his voice, you know who he is. Well, that was a shouting spot right there. You all missed that one. I can't believe you did. I'm talking about tonight. The God who bears witness. You know why? Because while I'm speaking, he's speaking. What I'm saying to you is coming through on this channel right here. It comes from this voice and it goes to this ear. But the word of the Lord is transmitted on a second channel simultaneously. Because the gospel, hear me clearly, the gospel is always proclaimed on two frequencies simultaneously. Did I say that plain enough? That when the gospel is ministered, when it's ministered with anointing, then it is being transmitted on two frequencies at the same time. There is that frequency that is coming from this natural voice to your natural ear. But there's a second voice that's speaking in the room today. And that's the voice of the Spirit. And you can only hear him with the ears of your heart. When you hear that voice, you are transformed. If you only hear what I am saying, you will get nothing more but information. But if you'll catch the voice of the Spirit that's speaking right now, you will be transformed into what you hear. Because the power of the gospel is seen in this. I said this to you last night. Please hear it again. The power of the gospel is seen in this, that it creates in the hearer that which is being declared. He's a communicating God. He is the God who bears witness with us. Romans 8 and verse 16, I asked you to look it up. It says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now I'm taking it right from the most rudimentary foundation right now, telling you that God bears witness, that he speaks, that he interacts, and I'm telling you it in a way that I think everybody in this room already understands it. And that is that if you are saved today, here's how you know that you're saved. Because he has made you to know that you're saved. Am I right? Nobody in this room has been transported to heaven and walked the street of gold up to their mansion and now says, I know I'm saved. But you're not guessing that you're saved. You're not hoping that you're saved. If you're saved, you know that you know that you know. There is nobody that is saved and doesn't know it. Am I correct on this? And the way that you know, now people experience the moment in different ways. Some experience it with great joy. Others say it was a very solemn moment in their life, and they're very sober as they receive it. Some dance and shout in the moment of their conversion, and others bend and weep and cry. So the emotion or the experience of the moment may vary from one to another, but this is what's universally true. The one who saves bears witness with you in your heart. So you walk out of that moment saying to yourself, I don't know it because the preacher said it. I don't know it because I read it in a book. I know it because there was a living witness within my heart that let me know I'm born of Him. Have you received that today? You know what I'm talking about. And the neat thing about that witness, it's not a one-time shot. Throughout your entire life, He's always there affirming the fact that you're a child of God. In the times of your struggle, even in the times of your doubt, in the days of your weakness, and in moments of your collapse, He's still there saying, come on, get up, go with me. Come on, we're part of a higher calling. We're part of a higher anointing. There's a witness within you. Because He bears witness. Now, I want to say something to you that I've told people all over the earth. It's true. Listen to it. If you know how to get saved, you know how to get everything from God. Well, you say, that's just too simple. No, hear me again. If you know how to get saved, if you say, well, here's one thing I do know. I know that I'm saved, and you know how you got saved. It's not like, I got saved, I can't tell you what in the world happened. I think it happened last Friday. I don't know. No, come on. If you're saved, you know. You met with the Christ. You put your hope in Him. You put your faith in Him. You didn't say, I worked this thing out, and I became a really good guy, and I stayed good for 6 weeks, and then He said, okay, now you're saved. You know that ain't it. You know how you got saved. You opened your heart to Him. You caught the witness of the Spirit. You embraced that word of the Lord within you, and you're born of Him this very hour. All right. If you know how to get saved, let me tell you something. You know how to get everything from God. Don't you believe the lie that says you get saved one way, but other things happen other ways. No. It's the same way. See, He's the way. He's not a way. He's the way. He's the only way. He's it. He's the door. He's not a door, He's the door. Are you catching what I'm saying? So that's how you got into the kingdom by Him, and that's how you enter everything that's available in the kingdom by Him. That's how you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know how? He's the baptizer. That's how you get healed in your body. The same way you get saved is the way you get healed. It's the way you embrace the miracle of God. If you try getting healed another way, say, well, I know I got saved by the grace of God, but now there's something about this healing thing. I got to have enough faith. I got to believe it right. I can't let any doubt come on in. I got to push it all out. I got to pray sincerely with all my... And you get all these rules. You get all these rules up here. And that's the reason why we're missing our miracle. You know, let me tell you something. When you got saved, now people, I hear some people say, I came to Him in faith and He saved me. And when they tell me that, I know one thing for sure, and that is they have forgotten the day of their salvation. Because you did not come to Him in faith and He saved you. You came to Him like I came. You came to Him in sin. Now wait just a minute. I'm not just being cute. You need to hear me now. You did not come to Him believing. You came to Him in darkness. When you stood before Him, you had nothing that you could offer Him that would qualify you or even give you an edge for His salvation. You were just like me. You were blind and bankrupt and destitute of anything that would qualify for the greatness of the gift of God. And when you came before Him, He became unto you everything you needed to be saved. Where you had no hope, He became the God of all hope. Where you had no faith, He became the author and finisher of your faith. Where you had no righteousness, and what righteousness you had to be thrown away because it was as filthy rags, He became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus unto every one of us. That's what He did. Now, so why are we trying so hard to get this stuff when it comes the same way we got saved? You know, I used to tell people, I didn't know preacher. I used to tell people this. I used to say, if you come to Him in faith, He will hear you. If you come to Him in faith, He will deliver you. If you come to Him in faith, He will heal you. I don't ever tell people that anymore. I just tell them to come to Him. If you'll come to Him, then He will be for you everything you need. Mm-hmm. And He'll connect with you, and He'll speak it into your life. That's the moment of the divine connection. Not when you believe, and then really believe what's written in the book. It's when you have an encounter with the one who has spoken the words that are in that book. That's the moment of divine connection. Now, Let me tell you, that is not a rare moment. That's a common moment. But here's the issue. Most people don't recognize the moment because they're looking for something else. Well, that was pretty important. Let me say it again. The moment is always there, but we often miss the moment because we're looking for something else. We need to know how to hear and distinguish and pick out that voice. And it is just not difficult. In fact, the more difficult you make it, the farther you'll go from it. The simpler you understand it and the simpler you make it, the easier it is for you to hear it and grasp it. So when you got saved, and you know what you did not need? You did not need a 16-week discourse on how to have God bear witness with you. Am I right? No one had to give you the 47 steps to getting a witness from God. You didn't get that. It just happened to you just like that. It happened to you just like that. That's the same way healing comes. Right now in this room, he bears witness with you for healing. Where area that you zeroed in on, what would you have me do for you? He would ask the man, what he's about to do is speak something to you right now about that. And that voice will come in a wide variety of ways. The way he bears witness happens different to different people. Let me talk to you about some of the ways that he bears witness in the way of healing. If you'll let me, I'm going to just read you a passage that describes one of the moments when he did that. Listen to this moment, then we'll talk about that. By the time we're through, it'll already have happened for a great many of you. All right? Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. It's a number of verses from the Word, but listen to them. I want you to listen carefully and see how he worked with this woman, what happened in her when she got a great miracle. This was a woman who had an incurable disease. She's going to have a connection with Jesus, and she's going to walk away well. The writer there, Mark 5, says this at verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She'd suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, someone say immediately. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And, now look at these next words, And she felt in her body, someone say she felt in her body. I'm talking about a God who bears witness. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Then watch this. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" How did he know that power went out of him? His disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see her who had done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, and don't miss what this is saying right now. He said, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, not what was going to happen. The word of God says she was healed. Did you understand that? Did you read that? When she touched him, it didn't say, "You're going to get healed." No. When she touched him, the blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. But he's saying, I want to know, who is this? Who is it that made the connection? Who touched me? And she's not stepping up. She's withdrawn right now. She's afraid. His disciples are saying to him, "How could you come on? There's so many people touching you right now. We're in a crowded place. How could you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he says, "No, somebody's touched me." And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And now watch this. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now watch what he did. Then he said to her, "Daughter, go. Your faith has made you well. Go," look at these words, "go in peace and be healed of your affliction." No, wait. Why in the world would he say, "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction," when the scripture says she was already healed? Are you still here? Are you listening? All right, let me walk you through this thing. I'm talking about a God who bears witness. Now, simply put, this is what's going on. She's got this illness. She's gone everywhere to try to get well, and no one's helped her. Have you been in that position? You've reached here, you've reached there, you've gone to this guy. It hasn't worked out in any case. Everywhere that they've given you hope, the hope has failed. And now she's broke. And it's not any better. In fact, it's not even stabilized. She's getting worse. And she hears about Jesus and she says, "Look, if I can just touch If I can just touch, if I can just make a connection. Now, she doesn't come front and center. She doesn't need to have his full attention. She doesn't need to bare her soul about all her problems. She just wants to connect with him. And she presses through that crowd, and she touches the border of his clothes. And when she does, something happens in her that she can tell and she can feel. The blood dries up right there. The very fountain of the blood, the scripture says, that is the source of the problem, dried up right there. And she knew it because something happened that she could feel. Sometimes when God bears witness with us, the way you know it is there's something that you can feel. Are you hearing me? Some people think that the only folks that feel stuff are those whose elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. You understand my metaphor? People who don't have all the fries in their Happy Meals. But I've seen God bear witness with people who had intelligence. I was preaching in a crusade some years, and that actually was about last year. It was a church not far from here. It was in Paola. There was almost 1,000 people present in the church. And a man was on the back row, and he had a neck injury. They had to fuse his neck. So now he couldn't turn his neck. If he wanted to talk to someone on one side, he had to turn like this, or on the other side, he had to turn like that. And he said, while I was preaching, he felt someone put their hand on the back of his neck. He thought it was one of the ushers because he's right on the back row. So he turned around to see who was touching him. But he said there was nobody there. Well, there was, but he couldn't see him. And he said, and when I turned around to see who was there, I said, well, there was nobody there. And then I recognized, oh God, I just turned my neck. There was a witness right there. It came by a touch. That's what happened with that woman. She felt it in her body. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jesus stopped there, and he wanted to know, who is it that touched me? If you know more about that whole setting, you know he's on his way to make, and he's got an appointment with a very important man whose daughter is about to die. In fact, she's going to die. She's not going to make it. He had to get there quickly, and he's not going to get there in time for her to be healed. And then what they're going to find out is that he's not only the healer, he's also the resurrection and the life, because nothing's impossible with him. But in route, he stops right there and he says, who touched me? Now she's afraid, so she's not willing to speak up. But you got to understand, remember, I never read just what he said. I want to know why you're saying it. There's a reason why he would ask for that. You know, the disciples try to blow it off. We got a place to go to, sir. We're on our road. We got a mission right now. We need to get there, you know. And besides, everybody's touching you. How can you ask who's touched me? But he won't move. Now, why does he stop there? Why does he not just simply say to his disciples, oh, someone just got a miracle. Isn't it wonderful? We don't have time to fool with it right now, but someone just got a miracle. No, he stops right there. He's like, I got to know who touched me. And he said, and you know how he knew it? He said that power went out of him. She felt something and he did too. I did not understand for a long time why it was that he asked who touched me. It wasn't actually until the healing anointing began to flow where people were healed in the crowd that I understood when he took me into this point. That because this is something I had seen all through my life. It doesn't happen to everybody, thank God for that. But this is something I have seen where people get a blessing in here and they don't have it when they get out to their car. Does anyone know what I just said? They get a touch of God right at the altar, but they don't have it by the next morning. And we say, well, the devil stole it. And we have all kinds of reasons. We say they didn't have enough faith to keep it or whatever is going on. And for a long time, I didn't. You know, it didn't happen to everybody. I understand that. I understand. But I don't think I need to see it happening to anybody. I don't want anybody to get a touch of God in this room tonight and have no evidence of it by the end of the week. Come on. What I never understood about divine healing, I understood it about salvation, but I didn't understand that if you know how to get saved, you know how to get healed, because they both happen the same way. I understood that when a person had the Spirit of God move on them to get saved, when they're sitting in their seat and that convicting power of God speaks into their heart and calls them out of darkness into light. Does anyone know what I'm describing right now? When that appeal to come to the cross happens, that a person needs to respond. They can't just sit out there and say, the Savior was moving on me today. Well, I got that, but what did you do? Just because he convicted you, just because he called you, just because he dealt with you, does not mean you're saved. You've got to respond to that. It's in the response that you hear. And it's in the response. Help me, preacher. It's in the response. It's in the response. Get up. Get up with me. It's in the response that you lock it in. You know what a lot of people are doing? They're experiencing the move of God and they're walking right out of the move and they've never locked it in. You did when you got saved, because this is what you did. You came and you not only repented of your sin, but watch this, you called Jesus your Lord. Am I right? In fact, Romans 10 tells us that we confess with our mouth. Not just that we're terrible sinners. No, we get beyond that. We confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord. Come on. We believe in our heart he's raised from the dead, and therefore we are saved. For with the heart man believes on the righteousness, but watch this. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know what we're getting? We know that to be saved of our sin, but when he touches us in our body, you know what we do? We sit and say, well, I'm going to wait a week and see if it's so. I think what I'll do, I'm not going to say God did anything. Oh, no. I'll go to the doctor first, and if he says I'm healed, then I'll come back and say, now look what the Lord has done. And what we don't understand of what we're doing is we're walking right out of the moment of our miracle. Because we're at a place when we can lock it in, but we're not willing to say God's touching us. Because we want to be, I don't know. What is it we want to be? Smart or safe or... Can you imagine how stupid this is, that we're waiting for a man to tell us that God has done it before we'll believe the witness of the Spirit? Now, how smart is that? That's really dumb. There's nothing wrong with having the evidence of your healing and having others recognize it and witness it. But in the moment of the miracle, you're in a crucial place right now. And he's saying something, who touched me? If it didn't make any difference, he'd have just went on down the road. But he's looking for someone to step up and say, it was me. When she did, he turned to her and he said something very important. He said, your faith has made you whole. Go and be healed of your plague. I'm thinking, whoa, wait. The word of God says she's already healed. Why would he say now and be healed? Because what he's talking about is they've just locked it in right there. So what I begin to do, when I begin to recognize God's already healing people right in the room, what I begin to do is, as I begin to have, after I'm through preaching and the touch of God has happened on you, I begin to have people come up for me to lay hands on them, but not to get healed, but to lock it in. So we begin to have, watch this, instead of prayer lines, listen to me, instead of having prayer lines, you know what we begin to have? We begin to have amen lines. We begin to say amen to what the Spirit was witnessing in the room. Are you hearing the difference? So I'm begging you to listen to him. You say, well, how does he speak? Well, he speaks in many ways. Sometimes he does it with an inner voice. There are some things that you can't know any other way. Some of you are dealing with a problem, you can't touch it. It's not like a tumor on your side. You can say, well, there, that's gone. You see, it's not like that. It doesn't hurt. So how are you going to know? Someone said, well, I would have to go to someone and be examined. Well, you should, and it would be okay to do that, but you can know before you go. So how could I know if it doesn't hurt or I can't touch it? Because he will bear witness with you. It'll happen right now in the inner part of your spirit. He'll say, you don't have to worry about that diabetic condition. I've just taken care of it. And you'll know it right there. You'll know it right there. You'll walk into that doctor's office and you'll know you got it. You'll know you got it before you walk in and talk to the man. You say, let me, you're here to see something that he witnessed to me the other day when I was in the house of God. Sometimes it happens with a feeling like what we just described. Sometimes people don't get a word on the inside, but you know, because when we communicate, we do it different ways, don't we? Sometimes we communicate verbally, do we not? We say things to each other. And other times we don't have to say anything at all. Sometimes the only thing that it takes, all it takes, may I? All it takes is a touch. And sometimes a touch says everything we need to know. Isn't that right? Come on, buddy. Come on. Come here. Come on. Sometimes all it takes is a touch. All it takes is a touch. And the touch says it all. You know, when he touches you, don't write it off as some emotional moment. He's talking. Why are you ignoring the voice that's bearing witness? He's talking. Sometimes, come on, sometimes when he speaks, it just happens with a change. You say, well, if that happened, then I just know it was God. Oh, no, you wouldn't. You still got to buy into it. I saw a lady the other day. She came with rheumatoid arthritis from head to foot, had terrible pain. She told me everywhere for 10 years, been consistent day and night, and drugs weren't stopping it. And I said to her, then what has happened? And you said your neck was in especially bad in pain. Yes, when you came in, you couldn't turn it and it hurt. How is it? What has God done? And she said, well, it, now listen to her. And this is exactly how she said it. She said, well, now it doesn't hurt now. Did you hear that? That's what you told me. It hurt when you came in. That's right. And you told me it's hurt for 10 years. That's right. Well, has he healed you? Well, it doesn't hurt now. You see, she still hadn't bought into it. Her pain was all gone. It was all gone. That was a witness right there. But she wasn't buying into the witness. She was not amening the witness. You see, she know what she was doing? She was still looking for the pain instead of looking for the answer. I want you to buy into the gift of God tonight. I don't know how it comes. It may come as a word to your spirit. It may come as a touch on your body where you feel something. A lot of times I was in Sungir, Tanzania just not long ago, and we had many people that were healed, but there were two side by side stood in the testimony line. One was a woman with malaria, and the other was a man with rheumatoid arthritis. And I always ask people the same question, same two questions all over the earth. What did you get and how do you know? Because what I'm trying to do is find a way I can lock it in with you. I don't want to hear about what you didn't get. I want to hear what God witnessed to you. What did he speak to you about tonight? Is what did you get? And the man said to me, I got healed of arthritis. I said, how do you know you got healed of arthritis? He said, well, I was in terrible pain. I was standing out there while you preach, and I felt like someone poured warm oil all over me, and all of my joints got real hot, and then the pain stopped just like that. I said, that sounds like a witness of God. I'll agree with you. You have no pain now, and it came where you felt real hot. I said, amen. The next one was the lady with malaria. I said, how do you know you're healed? And she said, well, I came with all the effects of malaria. My vision was blurred. I had the bad headache. The body aches all over. I was shaking with fever. And then there came like a cold breeze upon me. Now, let me tell you something. In Sungir, Tanzania, on that hot day, there were no cold breezes going anywhere at all. But she said, I felt a cold breeze come across me and all my suffering stopped. My eyesight became clear. My ache and pain left. I have no suffering from this. And I said, now wait just a minute. You got cold. He got hot. Now, what is the touch like? Is it supposed to be hot or cold? I need to know. He said, you got hot. Yeah, you got cold. Yes, but now, which one was God? Well, it's both. You just, sometimes he moves and touches us. People feel it different ways. But when you sense it, you need to grab it. When you sense it, you need to grab it. In Kisumu, Kenya, a lady was standing outside of the crusade ground. And I finish with this. She was totally blind when the Holy Ghost said to me, I'm healing people of blindness and all kinds of vision problems right now. And she wasn't even on. We had rented the sports grounds right in the middle of Kisumu, the third largest city in Kenya. And she was being taken down the road. She had the white cane. She had a friend holding her by the arm. She could not see anything at all. And when the moment I said that, her eyes opened right up. She got no word in her heart. She wasn't even in the service. She got no sensation, no touch on her, no warmth. Just all of a sudden, I couldn't see. And now for the first time in 10 years, I can see. You say, well, what is that? Well, that's a witness right there. That's a witness right there. She came walking in and she made her way onto the grounds to the testimony line where others were there and Ray was with her. And she stood up and said, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on here. I was just walking outside the grounds here. Someone was taking me home. I was completely blind. I've been that way for 10 years. And my eyes just popped open when someone said over the PA system, God's healing people of vision problems right now. When that happens, you need to amen him. He says, who touched me? You need to grab it and go with it. Now, you don't say, well, I think I want that, so I'll go say it happened. That's not how it works. It works as you just simply settle down and open your heart, and you receive a word from him. You say, well, what if that doesn't happen? Then you just keep listening. Keep listening. And there's nothing wrong with being prayed for, having someone ask with you. But what you need to do is keep listening, because you know what he's doing? He's saying every promise that's in that book. He's proclaiming that, watch this word, the eternal word. Well, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by, now don't you miss this, but by every word that what? That proceeds. Did you hear that? He didn't say man lives by every word that is written, although there's life in that word, but that's not what he said. He said by every word that proceeds. You live by the proceeding word. Do you understand that? That is that when he speaks, it brings life. The letter will kill you, but the spirit gives life. That doesn't mean the scriptures are bad. It means that the life isn't in the pages. It's in the spirit of that word that's spoken into your heart. And that's where miracles take place. And I help you any tonight at all. Would you stand with me all over this room?